Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. We believe. What we believe and why we believe it. Over the next 13 weeks, this will be our subject. It is so important that we define in this day, in this hour, who we are, what we believe, and why we believe it. And when you do that, you have to begin with the most important place of all. And that is what we believe about the Scriptures. Everything hinges on what we believe about the Scriptures. It does not matter what it is. It must be filtered through God's Word, or it needs to be aligned with God's Word. Now, over these next 13 weeks, we're going to be talking about this subject, we believe. This is not simply something we believe. There are many churches just like ours that also believe these kinds of things. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we isolate ourselves and we forget about other strong evangelical churches that believe these same kinds of things. And as the culture presses all of us, we must come to a deeper conviction that we're not in this alone. That you're not in it alone, that I'm not in it alone, that we are not in it alone. Now, we are a church that is connected to many thousands, 50,000 churches and congregations called the Southern Baptist Convention. In 1963, there was a statement of faith that was adopted by the churches of our convention. In the year 2000, it was rewritten. It was looked at again. It was revised due to the moments of where we were living, more to clearly define who we are. It's called the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. 2000 signifying the last time that it was addressed. If you were to go on our website, you would discover what we believe and why we believe it. You see, the front door of the church is the website. As people look for a church, as people try to discern what a church is about, if they have any type of depth at all, they want to know what a church believes. And wherever they are in the journey, we want to clearly define who we are and what we believe. So today, we're going to talk about that. And we're going to begin this journey by talking about the Scriptures. You see, in life, we all operate our decision-making, our lifestyle, by one thing. What we believe is authority for life. And the problem with all of these collisions of mindsets that's going on is that we all operate with different authorities. And so today, what I want to do is that I just want to list for you 9 of those possible authorities in introduction. This will be brief, but it's so important because they're so real in our culture today. The first is tradition. Tradition would be the past practices, that become the rule for our decision making. In other words, there are traditions that your family have, and if someone said to you, "Why do you believe that?" Well, we've always believed that in our family. Now, it may be completely wrong, but you've always believed it, therefore you will assess that it's right. Or there are a lot of churches that operate with strong tradition. Nothing wrong with tradition, but listen carefully. The tradition needs to go beyond, well, we've always done it that way, and that's why we still do it that way. There may be a reason, but we need to know what it is. Number two is history. In other words, what has happened in the past will govern the future. Nothing's wrong with history, but there are a lot of people that gauge their future and their decision-making off of history. Number three is law, the law of man. Law is determined by men and women for the purpose of governing people or governing a society. So is this right or wrong? Well, this is what the law says. Again, the law is very important, but is there an authority even above the law? Number four would be culture. Culture. This is where even the church in America today is getting duped and taken advantage of. You see, the culture says that the environment determines our truth. In other words, the culture tells me what is true and what is not true. I want to tell you today that is shaky ground and it will mess you up big time. People is another authority in life. Well, what do others say, including myself? In other words, you know, we all think pretty high of ourselves, don't we? We quote ourselves all the time in our mind. I'm sure God just smiles and, you know, looks the other way. But sometimes we always want to quote and we always want to say, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? And thereby that becomes our authority. Science is another element of authority. In other words, only that which can be proven as scientifically true is really true. Another level of authority would be emotion. Well, we're big on the emotion. In other words, this is the way I feel about it, therefore it must be right. Because why would I feel that way if it's right? Or you've heard this statement, well, you know, I just feel in my heart this is right. Okay, the only problem with that statement is the Bible says your heart is deceitful and wicked, and who can know it? So be careful. We would also say experience is another gauge of what truth is for some. In other words, truth cannot exist apart from my experience, and my experience becomes my reality. That is also very dangerous, because any experience that you have, Satan can give you an experience. You can delude yourself with your experience. And if you think that reality only exists based off of your experience, that's even more dangerous, because that means you got to go out here and do all kind of things before you know what's right. And you could end up broken by that time. The church is another level of authority. Some say the church is the authority. In other words, local churches or denominations serve as the criterion for all things. Well, obviously what the church believes is important, but the church is not the ultimate authority. You see, there are millions across the globe that believe that. And what if the church is wrong? Therefore, the ultimate question is the following question. What is my ultimate authority in life? What is it? Well, the ultimate authority in life is the Scriptures, the Bible. God's Word is my authority. And all of the other nine possible authorities mentioned, they have to be filtered through what the Bible says. And all of them bow to the supreme authority found in the Scriptures and through the Lordship of Jesus Christ personified in the Scriptures. So what we believe about the Bible pretty well will determine everything else we believe in life. In other words, we need to understand, and I don't want to oversimplify it today, but I'm telling you, Life comes down to one basic reality. What I believe about the Scriptures and how much of the Scriptures do I live? Some would say, you really only believe the part of the Scripture that you live. I'll let you figure that one out. But what I do know is that I want to give to you today five convictions about what we believe about the Scriptures. A conviction is something that I am convinced of, that I am persuaded of. I'm telling you, we must raise a generation of people who can simply begin to think biblically and theologically. And the beginning of that is based off what we believe about the Bible. It doesn't matter whether you're a school teacher or an entrepreneur, whether you're a housewife, you're a mom, you're retired. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager or you're 105 years of age. You need to know what you believe, and you need to know why you believe it. So therefore, that's what we're going to talk about today. And everything I say over the next 12 weeks, beginning next week when I preach, will hinge upon what we're about to talk about. It will hinge on it, on what we believe today. And everything else we talk about will hinge on what we're about to say. So I want you to know the importance of getting down what I'm going to talk about today. Not about me, but about what we're going to say about the Scriptures. The first conviction is, God is the author. God is the author. That's conviction number one that we have about the Scriptures. There are many passages I could read. I want to focus in initially on one. It's a passage I want you to turn with me in God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, toward the end of your Bible, right before the book of Titus, right after the book of 1 Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Two verses of Scripture. I've spoken from this text numerous times. I will go quickly through it. But it's a very, very important text. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. These two Scriptures you need to highlight if you're reading with an e-device. They need to be highlighted if you have a copy, a printed copy of God's Word. These need to become our basic understanding of what the Bible says about the Scriptures. Now, it's very important that we understand the key statement. And the key statement is, all Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is inspired by God. All, you know what it means? All. Genesis through Revelation. Inspired by God comes from a Greek word, theopneustos, meaning what? Breathed out by God Himself. God breathed this book in existence. We're talking about a different level of inspiration than C.S. Lewis had. A different level of inspiration than Shakespeare had or anyone's got today. We got all kind of inspiration today. But I want to say to you today, there's nothing like God inspiration. And this book is set completely apart from anything else you read. Because when you read the Scriptures, you're reading the Word of God. Billy Graham, who many of us grew up listening to on television continually and via radio as well, he would always say these words, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. We need to return to that. We want to quote every little girl out here that's got her a Bible study or every little guy out here who got him a small group. I'm telling you, we need to quote the Word of God. If the actual manuscripts were written thousands of years ago, how is God the author? How is that? It's a great question. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, listen to this, knowing this, first of all, meaning most important of all, no prophecy of scriptures comes from someone's own interpretation. In other words, these men and women did not have some kind of level of inspiration, and they had their own interpretation. But listen to what he says. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. In other words, they just didn't sit there and say, well, I think I'm going to write a book. That's what we do today. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That phrase, very important phrase, men spoke from God as they were, listen to this, carried along by the Holy Spirit. This further explains 2 Timothy chapter 3 that we read about, that God breathed through men this word into existence. When it says that they were carried along by the Spirit, it's like a man would set his sails with God, and the Spirit of God would come and breathe life to the sail and would carry him along. That's the imagery that Peter uses. The Quran, which is the book of Islam, they believe that an angel appeared to Muhammad and gave him the Quran. The Mormons believe that an angel appeared to Joseph Smith and gave him the Book of Mormon. I'll let you determine what kind of angel. But I want to tell you this today. The Bible was not given by an angel. The Bible was written and breathed into existence by God Himself. You see, we believe in what we call biblical inerrancy. Very important phrase that I want you to grab and put in your mind today. You say, well, boy, this is deep. No, it's not deep. Just get there with me. This is biblical inerrancy. Let me tell you what we believe about biblical inerrancy. It said it well by Albert Mohler, who will preach here on the last Sunday of September, and I really hope that you will be here. But Dr. Mohler writes, the affirmation of biblical inerrancy means nothing more and nothing less than this. Listen to this. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. We believe in biblical inerrancy. When this book speaks, God speaks. Did you hear me? When this book speaks, God speaks. You start reading it like that in the morning when you read it. You start living your life by those words. That carries a whole different level of commitment to this book. Paige Patterson, who's also a dear friend who has preached here before, a champion of biblical inerrancy, he writes that the Bible is inerrant with no mistakes of any kind, infallible, listen to this, leading not its readers to any error, plenary, being equally inspired by God in its totality, and verbal, having inspiration in every single syllable, word and syllable, not just the ideas. We believe in the infallibility of Scripture. It never leads me to error. We believe in the plenary of Scripture. All of it is inspired. And we believe in verbal inspiration, meaning that every single syllable and word is inspired by God and breathed into existence by God. It's not just a bunch of human ideas. It is the Word of the living God. Now, we have in this statement of faith called the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 a statement about what we believe about the Scriptures. And I'm going to lead you today in reading and professing and confessing what we believe about the Scriptures. And so I'm going to lead you, and that means that I want you to talk when I do this. Some of you have always wanted to talk in church. This is your moment. I want you to confess it out loud with me. There are many denominations that have confessions constantly, and that's one thing we need to learn to do better, quite honestly. Years ago, many of us grew up on what we call responsive readings. The last two or three decades, those are gone totally by the wayside in Baptist worship. But in reality, we need to return to a strong confession of our faith. Now, here is a part of our confession of faith. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to say it with me out loud. Are you ready? Everybody now, the Holy Bible. Now listen, come on now, we're talking about God's Word here. Everybody out loud. Ready? The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Now think about biblical inerrancy and leave that up on the screen. Think about this last sentence, and I want us to really center in on this last sentence. Now read it with me out loud again. It has, are you ready? It has God for its author. Slow down. Salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. First of all, God is the author. Second conviction we have about the Scriptures, its content is perfect. Its content is perfect. This goes hand in hand with the first conviction, because see, if you believe that God is the author, then you believe the Bible is perfect. Because how in the world could, what, a perfect God ever write something that is not perfect? So a perfect God is going to breathe into existence a perfect book. He's not going to give you an error-oriented book. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, look at this with me now. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to write down at least the reference. But it says, the instruction of the Lord is, say that word out loud, perfect. Let's start again. The instruction of the Lord is, out loud, perfect. And notice what it does. Renewing one's life. Don't you want your life renewed? Some of you are dull and worn out. The Word of God can do that. The testimony of the Lord, said out loud, is what? Trustworthy. You can't trust anything else in this world. It's nothing but a bunch of junk. But you can trust what God says. And I love this last statement, making the inexperienced wise. Some people think, well, I've got to go out and get all this experience for me to be an authority. Well, listen, when you read God's Word and you obey God's Word, you can become older in your younger years because you are articulating what God says in His Word. It makes you wise. That's why Paul said, don't let anyone deny your youth. Bible says it's perfect. It's perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's enlightening. It's enduring. So what does it mean? Well, let's say today that you had to answer this question. Are you at a major decision point in your life? Every week, hundreds and hundreds of families are at a major decision point in their life. Every week. We live from crisis to crisis. So if you're in that decision point, what should be your approach? Well, I want to answer that question by asking you another question. What does the Word of God say about the issue? In other words, if I'm at a point where I need to know what God wants, then guess what? I need to ask, now, what does the Word of God say about this issue? I mean, ask your buddy if you want, but you better filter what he says through this book. I'm all for counselors, but some of our counsel is, you know, a little questionable every now and then. But this book is perfect. I mean, this book is perfect. This book is trustworthy. This book is, listen to me, it is sufficient. When people doubt the perfection of the Word of God, they are really doubting the perfection of God. And I want to make a statement, and I should have put it on the screen for you today, because I think it is a very important statement. If God wasn't perfect, then your salvation is out the door. It's gone. Oh, they did put it on the screen for me. But if God wasn't perfect, listen carefully, our salvation is gone. It's gone. You don't have a hope if this book is not perfect. If God is God and His Word is perfect, then guess what? I am nothing more than a feeble individual trying to find my way around life. But God's Word becomes my guide and my hope and my help. Therefore, let's declare these words today again from the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It's just one statement, but boy, is it a powerful statement. Are you ready? It's on the screen. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. That's a powerful statement. Therefore, all Scripture is what? Totally true and trustworthy. Do you believe that? I mean, do we really believe that? That is a strong statement. Third thing we believe about the Scripture, it speaks to what? Life and eternity. It speaks to life and eternity. If I want to know what life's like, this book tells me. I want to know what eternity's about, this book's going to tell me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." The Bible again and again talks about matters of eternity. We could read verse after verse that speaks to the fact that we're only on this earth for a short amount of time. And we need to remember we're only on this earth for a short amount of time. And the reality is that if we do not have a relationship with God, that our sin has caused, that we cannot have that relationship until we receive what Christ has done, then we have no choice. We must trust Jesus for our salvation, or we don't have salvation. Either we spend eternity in heaven, or we spend eternity in hell. I want to declare this today because I think we need to hear this. The Bible is the sole authority on the afterlife. Not someone's blog or someone's thoughts. Not someone's books, even though they may have accuracy in the books. But the sole authority for the afterlife is what? The Word of the Living God. This book talks about eternity through and through. In fact, the Bible answers the greatest question that people have. You know what the greatest people have? Is this. What really happens when I die? I mean, the moment I die, what happens? The moment I die, what happens? This book speaks to it. Right? Wrong. Oh, it does. So not only does the Bible speak to matters of eternity, but listen, the Bible itself is eternal. Even the book of Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. That's a long time. Listen, the New York Times withers, the Wall Street Journal fades, but the word of our God lives forever. The Financial Times withers, and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. We've just entered into springtime. I love springtime, don't you? In fact, I'm fine if we just skipped winter. But the springtime is good, because we now know the death that winter brings. But now what are we seeing? We're seeing the fall and the winter blooming before our eyes. I want you to imagine that in your yard at home there is a tree, and that tree is the Word of the Living God. And it's unchanging. It's always the same. It never dies. Its leaves do not change, nor do they wither, or do they ever fall off. And that tree will be forever in your yard. Listen, that's exactly what the Word of God is. It is forever. It is a forever book. A forever book. It's not the book of the year. It's the book of the ages. The Baptist Faith and Message 2000 declares it this way, and I want you to read it out loud with me about this Bible. Listen to what it says. Declare it with me now. It, are you ready? It reveals the principles by which God judges us and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world. That's this book. Number four, it serves as our authority. This Bible serves as our authority. Psalm 119, that entire psalm is written about the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, look at this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I remember learning that when I was in vacation Bible school. It might have been in sunbeams. I don't know, but I learned it. But your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. America has never been darker in my lifetime. And you imagine the extreme darkness that exists in this country and around the world. But guiding me is a lamp. And keeping me on the road of faith is a light. And that lamp and that light is the Word of the Living God. If you add these biblical principles about the Bible all together, you come up with this conclusion: the Bible is my authority. My authority, it's the ultimate authority. And since we believe that God is the author, that its content is perfect and God's words are perfect, that speak to life and eternity, then we also believe that our sole authority, our only authority, our ultimate authority is the Word of the Living God. Therefore, I should listen to God's Word. I should read God's Word. I should meditate on God's Word. I should come hear God's Word taught to me. I should listen to God's Word be taught to me. Because everything I should do should ultimately be what God says in His Word. And if I'm going to walk the walk and talk the talk and I'm going to stay on the pathway, I've got to have God's Word all over me and in me. Right? Right. Now I want you to go on a journey with me, and you need to sit up and listen right here. Listen to what it is. I forgive others when they do wrong against me because of the authority of Holy Scripture in my life. I share my faith because of the authority of Scripture. I work hard at my job because of the authority of Scripture. We need to model working hard at our job. We do not need to consume time at work with matters that are not relating to work. We need to be diligent. And if we're not working with passion and with energy and giving our best, we need to repent. Amen. We need to model hard work. I endure suffering because of the authority of Scripture. I give the first tenth of all that God gives to me because of the authority of Holy Scripture. It has nothing to do with the financial situation of the country or what somebody's telling you. It has nothing to do with my level of income or my lack of income. It has to do with one thing: His authority. And because He is authoritative in it, I must honor Him with the first tenth of all that He gives to me. Gina and I give way above the first tenth of all God gives to us. Listen carefully. Because of the authority of Holy Scripture in our lives. I can't even enter into a realm of generosity until I've at least honored the Lord with the first tenth of all that God gives to me. I pray because of the authority of Scripture. I pray for others because of the authority of Scriptures. Because of the authority of Scriptures, I believe that marriage is only between a man and a woman. The authority of Scripture determines what I believe about marriage. Not the preference of a culture or a life experience or because it's politically correct. Well, what if the Supreme Court? I'll let you know right now. Because of the authority of scriptures, marriage is only between a man and a woman. That's what it is. Because of the authority of scriptures, we care for the widows and the orphans. Because of the authority of scripture, I believe that cohabitation with a mate is sin, and it's wrong. Because of the authority of scriptures, adultery is wrong. Because of the authority of scriptures, I pay taxes. Why in the world do you think I'd do it otherwise? Jesus taught that. Because of the authority of scriptures, I believe that in the last times in which we live, there will be increasing lawlessness in this nation and around the world. And we're seeing it right now before our eyes. Wake up! It speaks to it. Because of the authority of scripture, I believe that abortion is wrong, that abortion is sinful, and the killing of the unborn is a treacherous sin and a deep offense to a God who stands for life, who gives life, and is the only one who takes life away. And any compromise of that leads to a demeaning of life all the way through life, a demeaning of children in the culture, it's happening today, and a demeaning of the value of human beings and human life. It's all in the Bible. Because I believe in the authority of scriptures, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And that Jesus is the only way to God, period. Because of the authority of scriptures, I believe that when someone does not know Christ personally, and they die, they spend eternity in hell, all because of the authority of scriptures. Because of the authority of scriptures, I believe the moment I come to Christ, I need to follow Christ in baptism. That I need to be baptized by immersion to testify of my faith in Him. Because of the authority of scriptures, I believe in the local church. Because of the authority of scriptures, I believe that Sunday is the Lord's day. And it should be a day of worship unto Him. Because I believe in the authority of scriptures, the Bible is the true center of Christian union and fellowship. And that's found in the local body of believers called the church. And because I believe in the scriptures, it doesn't matter how bad culture gets, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And what God says, God means. So whatever it is, Scripture is my rule, and Scripture is my life and my practice. You say, well, Ronnie, that's legalism. No, that's not legalism. You're a legalist. What you're trying to do is that you're even going beyond the realms of legalism and do something else I won't even go into. But what you're trying to do is to say that you have your own freedom to do anything. You listen carefully. This book is a book of parameters and guidelines for your life, principles and laws for living. When you live within that, there's a lot of freedom. You go outside that, I'm telling you, that's not freedom, that's bondage. That's what it is. That's the way you have to raise your children. That's the way you have to go to work. That's the way you have to have a career. And there it is. I'm going to ask you these questions for a moment. Let's just get honest with each other for a moment. But you deal with God on it. When's the last time have you read God's word and you stood corrected? When is it? When is the last time you read the Word of God and God tangibly changed your life in a specific area? When is it? When is the last time that I did something simply because I know God's Word says it, and it's not popular, but I'm going to do it because God's Word says it? When is the last time you were faced with making a decision in your life and you went to God's Word immediately and you asked God, "What do you say to me about this?" And you based it on that, and you walked by faith accordingly. Now you listen, and listen carefully. This is not what it means to be politically correct. This is about what's right. And God's Word is right. And God's Word is authoritative. Whether we choose to believe it or not, it's authoritative. And it will judge everything in us and about us one day when we stand before God. We need to choose to put our lives today under the authority of Scripture. Well, in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, there's a wonderful statement about this. It picks up and it says these words, and I want you to read it with me. Meaning the Scripture, the true center, read it with me, the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, or religious opinions should be tried. So in other words, the Scripture should be my standard of conduct. The Scriptures should evaluate any creed that I would have or operate by. The Scripture should operate with religious opinions. Listen, start listening to talk show radio and talk show television with the Scriptures in your hand. The authority is no longer who's on the left or who's on the right or who's on the center. What's right is what's in here. Doesn't matter what they say and how they scream about it at each other. It's what here is what rules. What's here is what authoritative really is all about. So what have we taught you? We've taught you that God is the author. That's conviction number one. That its content is perfect. That's conviction number two. That it speaks to life in eternity. That's conviction number three. And it serves as our authority, and that's conviction number four. But I said there were five convictions, right? So the fifth and final one is this. It's all about Jesus. That's what we believe. It's all about Jesus. I mean, listen, we just finished Luke 24 in depth. And you remember when we talked through it, we talked about the road to Emmaus and that powerful story there. Do you know what the Scripture records in Luke 24:27? Listen to what it says. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them, meaning Jesus, in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm telling you, he took the Scriptures. Remember, they were wowed by it. They couldn't believe what they heard. They didn't know it was him initially. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus sat down with his disciples, and in Luke 24:44, he said to them, and I quote, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Everything. So what did Luke record? He recorded Jesus, and now listen, guys, you got all this word here in the Old Testament all the way through the end. It's all about me. That's what Jesus said. It's all about me. The former great W.A. Criswell used to say it this way. He said that in this book from Genesis to Revelation is a scarlet thread. Jesus is all over it from Genesis to the Revelation. We need to remember the whole book is about Jesus. The whole book is about Jesus. And anytime you read this book, you need to think in your mind that what is Jesus teaching me about himself. He speaks about himself in Genesis all the way through the Revelation. In our Baptist Faith and Message 2000, it says this is the final testimony. Look at it with me on the scripture on the screen today. It says out loud with me now, all scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. That is a powerful statement. Let's read it again. All scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. What a powerful statement. Now, what we're going to do today in our final moment here is that we're going to confess our faith in this. We're going to confess as a church what we believe about the scriptures. We're going to put together all these pieces, and this will be our final moment before we dismiss you. I want you to sit up. I want you to focus. I want you to say these words with me. Because if you are a born-again Christian and you believe about the Bible, we need to confess what we believe about the Bible. Very, very important. And I just tell you today, Satan, you're listening in. This is who we are. This is what we believe. Amen. Culture, this is who we are. This is what we believe. Write about us. Blog about us. Make fun of us. This is who we are, and this is what we believe. So what do we believe? Everyone out loud, unashamedly and clearly. Are you ready? Let's say it together. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union, and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. All scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. That's what we believe about the scriptures. And that is what the scriptures are all about. Therefore, align your life with the Word of God. Align your family with the Scripture. Align your career with the Scriptures. Your job, the way you treat people, the way you live, the way you lead, the way you learn, the way you go, the way you give, the way you share, align it with the scripture.